It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning we talked to psychologist Carol Dweck on building resilience in ourselves and our neighbors. She compares the tradition of barn raising to emotional support we can offer each other to not lose hope.
Maybe if we know everyone was there for us, everyone supported each other, we could keep going.
That's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. Governor Jim Justice issued an executive order last week to create a state-level narcotics intelligence unit. The goal is to gather intelligence on drug crimes through forensic accounting and computer data analysis. Emily Allen has more.
It's the 21st century, and Secretary Jeff Sandy for the Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety, or DMAPS, says drug crimes are more sophisticated and elusive than ever before.
In today's world, people involved in illegal activities such as narcotics do not want to transport large amounts of drugs in vehicles because if law enforcement pulls them over and finds that money, it is subject to forfeiture.
Sandy used to be a federal agent and a sheriff in Wood County. He says that he learned what people actually do now is sell the drugs in one state and use the money there to buy a car or a business that can be cashed out in another state. In rural communities where the opioid crisis hurts most, it's getting harder for local law enforcement to detect and prosecute this kind of money laundering. Sandy hopes a state-level narcotics intelligence unit will help.
A lot of your sophisticated crimes involve large amounts of money. And by having forensic accountants, computer specialists available to help West Virginia city, county, and state law enforcement will be a tremendous advantage for them. They cannot afford to hire a forensic accountant or a computer investigative specialist. And we're going to be able to provide that to them to help them on their investigations.
The governor has issued an executive order calling on DMAPS to create a narcotics intelligence unit within the West Virginia Intelligence Fusion Center. This group investigates criminal and terrorist activity happening within the state.
We are the central hub for any public safety, law enforcement, intelligence gathering and dissemination.
That's Jack Lucart. He directs the West Virginia Fusion Center.
So we would gather information for any public safety or law enforcement situation and then get that information to the people who need it.
Lucart was just appointed and will begin his work as director early next week. He used to track illegal substances entering and leaving correctional facilities. Before that, he worked for a narcotics task force in Putnam County.
Had I had the opportunity that will be available to our law enforcement officers now, we could have taken many cases and taken them to another level.
DMAP Secretary Sandy says a narcotics intelligence unit in West Virginia will collaborate with units in other states and the federal government to prevent and detect drug crimes involving West Virginia that originated elsewhere.
If we can work with them and stop the drugs in Ohio and Michigan, for example, we have done a service to West Virginia citizens.
Ohio created a narcotics intelligence unit last year, also by a governor's executive order. However, Ohio leaders devoted more than $3.4 million to the creation of its center. West Virginia Governor Justice is requesting $1.9 million in a year when he has promised lawmakers a more conservative budget. Sandy thinks this is still worth the investment.
Our goal is a broad goal: reduce the number of people incarcerated in West Virginia, keep drugs out of West Virginia, and we're going to be very harsh on them if they come to West Virginia to sell their illegal drugs.
If the West Virginia legislature approves Justice's financial request, Sandy says his agency can have 15 people hired and working for the task force by July. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
This weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia explores stories about resilience and survival. This morning, we'll hear a sneak peek. Psychologist Carol Dweck is the author of Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. Jessica Lilly recently sat down to speak with Dweck about how we, as humans, think about our own talents and abilities and how these mindsets can dramatically influence our lives.
Dr. Dweck, thanks for joining me.
A pleasure.
So what is it that you do? How would you explain your expertise and your work with Stanford as well as authoring this book?
My research is on people's beliefs and how these beliefs can be so powerful in shaping their lives. For example, one thing I've looked at extensively is whether people believe their basic qualities, their intelligence, talents, and abilities are just fixed. You have a certain amount and that's it. Or whether these are abilities that can be developed throughout life, not just by your personal effort and strategies, but also by the help, support, input, teaching from others. Now, we find that when people endorse mostly a fixed mindset, events can be devastating. They can be undermining. They can lead you to give up. You can think, my abilities have been tested. When you're in more of a growth mindset, things can still be pretty devastating, but you feel, okay, I'm on a path. There's more to me than I have found so far, and I'm going to use everything I can to grow, make more of myself, and help not just myself, but those around me to thrive.
It seems that the growth mindset is a way of sort of capturing or cultivating hope.
Yes, I think that's very insightful. I think a growth mindset doesn't guarantee that you'll become brilliant or that your life will be wonderful, but it does keep you on the path to becoming more, to seeking more, to growing. You don't feel like life is over, life is not for me, I'm disappointed in what life has to offer. You keep thinking there's more and there are things I can do and things we can do collectively to have a better future.
When does exhaustion come into play? I would say, you know, if you have this constant effort and mindset of believing that things are going to get better and believing that you can overcome these huge challenges, and then personally you see very little change with this, what's your concern or thoughts about that? And I say it really quickly because here in West Virginia we often have this very proud persona, or we're very proud of the fact that we are tough and strong and we can overcome all these things, but then, you know, how do we eventually, it becomes exhausting.
That's why we say it's not just about effort, because it and also that even putting in the effort and strategies, doing everything, it doesn't ensure an outcome. And that's why I think it's so important to create and maintain a sense of community, because I believe deeply that a solid interdependent community can achieve things that individuals can't. I'm thinking back to the old practice of barn raising, very popular on American farms in the past. No one farmer could really afford to build a barn. And yet barns were absolutely essential for storage, for animals in the winter, for the survival of the farm. So what could they do? The whole community would get together to raise a barn for a given farmer. In the end, every farmer had a barn. Everyone had something that they could not do themselves. Everyone had it. because everyone participated. And so in these crises, of course individuals get exhausted. Of course they feel often that their efforts have not been rewarded. But maybe we don't all get exhausted at the same time. Maybe the people who still have some energy can pitch in and keep us going. Maybe if we know everyone was there for us, everyone supported each other, we could keep going. I think a lot of the opioid epidemic is about people giving up on themselves and their lives and not feeling anyone is there for them.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dweck. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
That was psychologist Carol Dweck speaking with Jessica Lilly about her research into emotional resilience. You can hear this weekend's full episode of Inside Appalachia Sunday morning at 7 and again Sunday evening at 6. Our Mountain Stage Song of the Week comes from singer-songwriter Mark Klein Bates. Here's his heart-wrenching tale about aging, reflection, regret, and loss called Ginger.
Well, she's 83 and her dog just died. The debt collector called and he made her cry. Now she lives alone in her double wide. She's got a Chevy Cavalier she can't drive. She told the debt collector, my puppy Ginger is dead. She got cancer in her jaw, I couldn't pay the vet. She said, is there anything that you can do? He said, we've already done too much for you. And she stares at Ginger's ashes as the thunder rumbles, and her prayers drift off into angry mumbles. She never had a husband, and her sister is dead. Her dream of paradise has left her short of breath. Security. She says, how can I pay for my groceries? 1949, she was 16 years old. Her mom milked cows and her dad mined coal. And the world grew like vines around her dreams. She's never flown in a plane or felt the ocean breeze. She stares at Ginger's ashes as the thunder rumbles, and her prayers drift off into angry mumbles. She never had a husband, and her sister is dead. Her dream of paradise has left her short of breath.
Our Song of the Week, Ginger, by Mark Klein Bates. Hear the entire set from Bates and WV6, as well as performances by Leftover Salmon, The Jeremiahs, and more on this week's encore episode of Mountain Stage. Tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nahlinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.